Welcome to another Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, Phil, it's really good news. The Redbacks are back on the winning streak.
Unbelievable. But they almost threw it away.
Well, they did actually, strangely enough. But I guess you can give a great deal of credit to the fact that they had actually almost dug themselves into a hole, and then to get out of it as comfortably as they did and to beat New South Wales was a grand performance, and it's lifted them off the bottom of the ladder.
It's New South Wales' second 11, though, isn't it?
Oh, well, basically. You're being a little tough. Yes, the answer is. But
Tom Cooper in the runs?
Well, an incredible and a very moving tribute he made in that many of us have forgotten that Tom Cooper was actually at the other end when Phil Hughes got hit.
Okay.
And they were housemates together, and so he was he's found it very difficult going back there and playing, but to get 105 and in fact he saved South Australia, because the strange thing was that although it looks like, and indeed it was, a very comfortable win by 7 wickets, New South Wales made 256 in the first innings, and Nick Winter, this magician, he's amazing.
Where's he come from?
Well, strangely enough, he's not a South Australian. He's come from Canberra. And would you believe that he's waited 5 years to get a game? You'd never guess what he was doing.
South Australia?
And guess what he was doing in that 5 years? He was working for the Sacker in their press department. Eh?
Oh,
isn't it amazing?
We've cushy got, little job sitting
well,
back in the office
somewhere. It's interesting, isn't it? Because Nathan Lyon was
working as a curator, wasn't he?
Yeah, at Adelaide Oval as well. Anyway, Nick Winter... And isn't sport and the opportunities in sport amazing? That if Sayers hadn't been called up to go to South Africa after
he wouldn't have got a game.
After Bird did his hamstring, then Winter still wouldn't have played.
Oh, no.
And yet in his first game, he's taken 5 for against Victoria. And in this game, he's now taken 5 for in the first innings and 5 for in the second. He's actually only, or he's... he's third now as the largest number of wickets taken in the first two Sheffield Shield games that someone's played for South Australia.
Now, we were talking just before we started. Now, we've got a heap coming back. So will he get dropped for the next game?
Well, you can't imagine that he's going to get dropped. But the interesting thing is that, you know, we've just, you know, the old adage in sport normally is you never change a winning side. Well, they're faced with the fact that they have just beaten New South Wales by 7 wickets. And you've got Travis Head, you've got Kane Richardson, you've got Zampa, and you've got the wicketkeeper,
Carey,
all coming back. Now, who you drop, well, there's an assumption you're going to put them all in. My theory is I don't think they will. I've got a feeling the bloke who's been missing out quite a bit is Lehman, and I've got a feeling that Head, I reckon he might get rolled, and Travis Head will take obviously fit in for him. I mean, you know, how can you drop Tom Cooper after he's made 105?
No, couldn't.
Weatherald and Dalton have been doing pretty well as openers.
They're consistent.
And you wonder whether you're going to... it's always dangerous not to play a spin bowler, but, you know, whether they've got room for Zampa. And you'd think that Richardson, now that Winter's taken 15 wickets in 2 games, it's going to be really interesting to see what they go with.
And Nielsen's been keeping well.
He has. But, I mean, I think the understanding is that
Carey's
obviously, you know, and wicket... It's quite an understanding in the cricket world that if a second keeper comes in, because the first...
He made a ton, though, too, in his first...
He did. He hasn't... He made a ton in his first dig and he's failed in the others. But he's a very good wicket keeper. But it's going to be interesting to see in the long term what happens, because you'd think that Tim Payne would want to keep for Australia for as long as he could, which means that Carey is going to have limited opportunities, although he obviously, I think, is the next cab off the rank to keep for Australia, which therefore means that Nielsen is going to get very few games for South Australia, and whether he's going to be forced to go interstate to try and get a job, a gig over there somewhere, or one of the states.
Oh, interesting times.
It is very interesting.
So, and so South Australia, who do they play in the next game? And they've got three to go.
There's three games to go. So, and, of course, because of the one days and the T20s, they're all rushed together. You know, it would take someone to go through the history books to remember what happened in the first half of the Shield season, which seems to have been played 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But anyway, they do have three games to go. They've got one this weekend starting against Queensland. Then they play Tasmania. And then they play WA. Now, if you look at the table at the present time, none of them, in theory, are guaranteed easy go, because Queensland are actually at the moment top of the table, and Tasmania are actually second. Western Australia are down in fifth position, and having won that game, we've moved off the bottom of the table to be actually fourth. The other interesting thing is that because of the way the scoring system is, there's not a huge amount between top and bottom.
Mm.
So South Australia, if they could win, say, two of these games, they are actually in with a chance to finish one or two. They're actually, what happens, Phil, is that you get 6 points for an outright win. Nothing if you lose. Doesn't matter who's ahead on first innings. It's who wins outright.
It's not first innings.
There's
anymore.
No points for first innings leads. If it's a tie, which of course is, you know, like winning cross lotto, you'd get three each. And if it's a draw, you get 1 point. Now, the only other points up for grabs are bonus batting and bowling points. You get 0.01 for every run over 200 that you score in the first 100 overs, or you get 0.1 for every wicket that you take in the first 100 overs.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, you get, like, South Australia, I haven't got it absolutely in front of me, but they got about 7.5 for this game, six for the win and 1.5 or whatever. And what normally happens is that unless there's a total thrashing, both sides tend to pick up, give or take, the same number of bonus points. So it all hangs on who wins the game.
Yeah.
And South Australia basically are one win out, or I mean, you've got to finish one or two. Simple as that if you want to play in the final. And so three wins out of three, and they'd be giving themselves a big chance.
Yeah, they've got a tough gig because they got Queensland.
And Tasmania.
Tasmania first and second. Yeah. So and then we've got WA.
So, but it is interesting that, you know, it looks, as I got sidetracked, it looks as though it was a pretty easy win, and in the end it was. But in chasing New South Wales 256, Phil, we were actually 5 for 128 and 7 for 141.
In a bit of trouble.
And yep, and if it hadn't been for Cooper's 105 and Tom Andrews, the spinner, he made 50, they actually took the score from 7 for 141 to all out 281, which put us just in front. And then Winter, our boy from Canberra, did it again and knocked New South Wales over for 213 in their second innings. He took another 5 for 61. And Weatherall again got runs, 49, and Ferguson, although he missed out in the first dig, got 49 not out. And so we were 3 for 192 and win by 7 wickets.
And this Winter's not that quick, is he? He's sort of a seamer, like he moves the ball.
You're absolutely spot on. He's a version of another Sayers.
Yeah.
And there'll be people, just like they have with Sayers, who will argue he's not fast enough. But the big thing is that Winter moves the ball both ways.
Mm.
And it seems to me that, as we've discussed, and it's been recognised for 100 years, that Australians don't play all that well when the ball starts moving sideways.
And you were saying that the old Kookaburra cricket ball's gone too.
Well, the interesting thing is that that's probably contributing to the, as it were, medium-fast bowlers who can move the ball beginning to dominate at the present time, because I'm not quite sure of the absolute politics of it, but they're not using the Kookaburra, the Australian-made Kookaburra. They're using the Duke's English-made ball, which traditionally and always has moved a great deal more. So therefore, anyone who can move the ball is relishing bowling with the Duke's ball. What it's achieving, I don't know. I can understand why they used it in preparing to play the Englishman, but why they have dropped, I think it may well have something to do with contracts with Cricket Australia and Kookaburra as well. But so again, it's very hard to judge anything at the moment, because it would seem that anyone who's got a bloke who can move the ball is in with a chance. You've got all these players coming back from the T20 squad. So as is illustrated by SA, you know, you could have three or four changes to your team, which also happens with the other states. So the form guide is out, you know, because really the side that played last week is not going to be the same side that plays this week.
Hence, I guess that's why England have, since John Snow, really haven't had a real big fast bowler. They've got these sort of medium pace swingers now, haven't they, the last umpteen years, you know?
And of course, fortunately, having played in England, I mean, you don't have to be a million miles an hour bowler, because the pitches are so conducive to cut and seam and swing with the you know, atmospheric conditions as well, that there's no great encouragement to have to bowl very fast. Whereas over here, where you've got basically
flat deck and
atmospheric conditions that aren't happy to swing the ball, then you've just got to bowl very quick.
Because the English eyes lit up that night game in Adelaide, because we had a bit of dewy sort of, you know, and she was moving a bit, and they loved that.
They did. I mean, that's... I mean, even though it's been and gone, the Ashes series, the big chance England had was that day-night game, because that's where the atmospheric conditions favour that sort of stuff. Yeah. Listen, while we're talking about cricket and England and so forth...
Have you got a joke, Rick?
I have, actually.
Really?
Now, did you hear about the cricketer who walked into the doctor's office? He sat down, he said, "Doc, I've got a real problem. I can't bat, I can't bowl, and I can't field. What can I do about it?" Dr. Lutton said, "Listen, I reckon you're a bit over anxious. In fact, I reckon you're overreacting to the whole thing. Why don't you just take a few days off?" He looked at him and said, "I can't. I'm playing Test cricket for England at Lord's tomorrow."
Hello to all the English listeners. And there's a few runs around too, Rick.
There are.
Matty Renshaw, Matty Wade.
That's right. Well,
Big hundreds.
And I'm a great stickler. I mean, I think Wade's Test career is over, but he is a very good batsman. But the guy I'm pleased to see at last get runs again is Renshaw, because I really think he's an old-fashioned opening batsman. He's done the 170 or whatever it was. 100 and is good. And I'd like to think that he'll get another chance.
What about that Victorian? Can you pronounce that name? He made 180 odd.
He did. And
how do you pronounce that name?
At the umpires meeting last night, we tried something about that, but I think we just call him Pucho.
Yeah. Wow. That's a big long word, but he's obviously, you know, a bit of talent there.
Well, obviously he's made 188. That's a big score against Queensland too.
And Victorian at the bottom side too.
Yeah.
So
it is interesting, you know, that, and again, I suppose it's a reflection of the comings and goings of players, that the two states that played in the Shield final last year, Victoria and South Australia, were up until this last round of games at the bottom of the table, which is partly due to, obviously, performance, but partly due to players being absent or on other duties. And I, as you know, I still have a horrible feeling about the Sheffield Shield, that it's just being used and it's not serving the purpose that it should have been.
Well, I used to like it when it was had a bit of coverage on the TV. Yeah. I mean, you don't even hear, unless you go on the internet and look up the cricket scores, you don't even, you know, they get them in the paper occasionally, but you don't really even hear about it anymore, do you? The old Sheffield Shield.
And I guess why we've got the cricket theme going, the Australians were about to play their one and only practice, dare I say, trial match in South Africa, probably starting tomorrow or whatever it is. And a bit of controversy already, the old sparring's out. Did you hear what Steve Smith had to say?
No, let me know.
Well,
what did he say?
Steve has opened fired already, and before the first red ball's been bowled, by suggesting that the tactic that they used against the Englishmen, and that's bowling short, particularly at their middle and tail end, will be done again against the South Africans. What do you think of that?
Well, what are they, two in the world, aren't they?
Well, India technically are,
but they're going to be a bit better.
Yeah, I think Steve might have a slight memory problem. I think he's probably forgotten that they've got just as quick a bowlers as we've got, and they've got a batting order that's a bit, you know, longer right and deeper down. Than ours. Yep. And I'm not sure that if we start bowling bouncers at those quick bowlers, that they know, there's a few blokes in the Australian side who are going to get a few back in return. I mean, there's a huge difference between the quality of the South African bowling attack and the English one, and therefore they could hardly return fire with fire. But I think over there, on their similar type decks to us,
I reckon
our back half might want to be wearing their arm guards and chest guards, I reckon.
And Steve Smith, another Alan Border medal the other night,
Right, I think they put the engraving on it before the season started. I mean, he's a magnificent player. There's no doubt about that. But I think the true test is coming, and I hope that Australia do very well. Mm. But I have my serious doubts about the strength of our batting against quality bowling. But time will tell, I guess.
And quickly, we'll just touch on the footy. You got a couple of trial games coming up. I see Port have got a couple of injuries again. Wingard and your little man,
Pollock. It is interesting, isn't it? I guess it's an indication of just how much pre-season hard work they do, that clubs have got injuries before they've even started. Other than that, since I guess our listeners know we're openly Port Adelaide supporters, that it would seem that our recruits are going very well, and particularly Motlop, which is very pleasing.
Yeah, I reckon he's so fit and burning the track up at Port Adelaide, which is good.
Well, there's never ever been any doubts about his skills. Mm. It's probably the big question mark's always been hanging over his endeavour and how serious he is. But you know, he's not the first bloke who's gone to Port Adelaide and seemingly fit in. I mean, Pollock was just a one big problem.
Matty White.
Yep.
Matty White.
And Pollock is an incredible example. I mean, I don't think he ever wanted to go up to Queensland in the first place.
Yeah.
I think he played half a dozen games in 5 years or something, and he came back to Port and did it all. At least we're going to see some real football.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the full proper decent games, not this X.
Yeah, well, have you heard of my suggestion? I reckon the AFL should go straight from the AFLX to the AFLY.
Why?
Why did they do it in the first place? They've taken all the worst.
It's almost another joke.
It is. I know I made that up.
Yeah, I know. That's the sad part.
You know, all they've done is take the worst bits of the game, and it was the most unattractive thing I've seen.
Yeah, I'm not. I think we touched on it last show, and I'm not a big fan of it. Yeah, I did watch some of it, but
so we could move AFLY.
Why? Why are they doing it?
Well, we've had a bit of fun, and it's been quite interesting. I hope you've enjoyed it. Until next time, I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.